Can you believe how quickly we will be there? And quicker than you realize. I will say this. Once I found the angle years ago and I provided that ATM for all of you, in fact, the way to bet on preseason football, which sounds crazy, a little maniacal, a bit degenerate. Money's money. Once we figured out those angles, I realized that our Redemption Thursdays begin even earlier than we know, because preseason football happens in less than 3 weeks. Is that right? Yeah. Oh, it's exactly 3 weeks. Yes, it's basically exactly 3 weeks. How about that, Tom? How about that, buddy?
I'm for it. I'm not against it.
Well, this is what I always say about preseason football or even bad football. You have your football snobs out there. Like, I'm a coffee and music snob. There are football snobs out there. And they'll be like, I don't want to watch bad football. And it's true. We joke around a lot about bad football. You get geeked about the return of football at a level that goes above and beyond anything reasonable because we're fans. We're fanatical. And we sit down to watch. You might get about a quarter and a half into a preseason game, and you're like, I could very easily be watching something else. I forgot how much this sucks. Or if you get a really bad college football game, I was really pumped. I was really, really pumped to watch this Tulane Temple matchup, but
Babe, did you say you needed help in the kitchen? Hang on, I'll be right there. I'll be right there. This Bowling Green and Wyoming game ain't going so hot.
Oh, well, now, buddy, those are, you know, I would be watching me some Bowling Green in Wyoming. I've got affinities for both.
Yeah, but you would say, I could take this drive off. You know what? Maybe that was the time to take the trash out. This offense ain't going anywhere. This is a travesty.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. You do. Your enthusiasm is sullied pretty quickly. But that said, when you found the angles for, and again, the football snobbery that I hear from people, like, I'm not watching that game. You're not? You've been starved for this. We're practically drooling. We're so close to football being here. And you're going to not watch it? My ass. You're a liar. You're a football snob and a liar. You're going to watch that game. What else are you going to do? It's football. You're going to watch it. Because even bad football still features dudes in pads clobbering one another repeatedly. And that's never a bad thing. Violence, the violence of the sport, is an element that we are all addicted to. We love it. We're going to watch it. There's a higher level, a more proficient, faster, bigger, stronger level of this controlled violence that we prefer, but we like the violence element, and tonight it's on. I'm going to watch them. They're hitting one another. Don't you see this? It's like a bad boxing match between two very average fighters. If you're there, you're going to watch it. You're like, well, I mean, that dude is going to punch that guy. I like seeing that dude punch that guy. It's great. He is going to punch him back. It's worth my time.
This did happen a couple of weeks ago at the local pub where all of the good baseball games took place in the afternoon. So all that was left was, I don't know, some West Coast game that didn't matter. It was on national television. Nothing else was on. And so UFC was put on one of the televisions. I don't ever go out of my way. Don't ever. Not since I was 24 to watch UFC.
Right.
But it was on. And it was on. And it was a fight. And it was a fight.
That dude's kicking that other dude's ass, and I'm here for it.
Next day, everybody's like, I don't like UFC. And then they're all sitting at the bar. They go, ooh, he's, man, yes. He caught him. You know, and it's just, yeah, that's how it goes.
I just kicked that dude in the face. Like, think about it that way. If you're sitting somewhere and somebody just stood up and kicked somebody else in the face, you're like, awesome. That was crazy. That guy just kicked that guy in the face. I'm not going to make a special trip to this place to see that, but if it's on, if I happen to catch it, all right. That's pretty cool.
There's a bar about 12 blocks to the east of where you've been that you probably should expect to see that if you went to that bar. Somebody's going to get kicked in the face tonight. Why are you going up there? Why are you going to Connolly's? Somebody's going to get kicked in the face.
I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome.
Happens all the time. It's going to be awesome. There it is. You come home. It happened. Dude at the end of the bar got his face kicked. It was fantastic. Good old Connolly's. You always know it's going to happen at some point. I could hear their voices being raised, and I knew we were close to a face kicking. It was going to happen. So the real point of any of that was for me to say, there's real live football in 3 weeks. Like, it's happening, you know, and what that really means is that you're going to start getting camp information out of the NFL now. Right? You know, that's, again, it's the stuff around football that you check the boxes. Speaking of checking boxes and how close we are to football, I should have added this to the checklist some time ago, because it is right as rain. It is going to happen. Sure as the sun's going to come up, this is a part of, hey, how can I tell football's back? Well, you have this, you have this. There's the date. Yep, they got the conference meetings. Yep, yep. Georgia players getting arrested for reckless driving. Happened again yesterday. What in the hell is going on in Athens? They cannot. It's like a bad M. Night Shyamalan movie where you move to a city and you're compelled to drive over the medians. Like, you can't help yourself. There's something in the water of that city, and nobody can figure it out. Pedestrians are getting run over left and right just by being there. So you've had people killed in Athens because of reckless driving, because of staff members, players, ex-coaches. Just, they can't keep it together. They can't keep it on the road, as they say. It's just, I get in a car, I'm in Athens, F it. I'm going 150 and I'm hopping the median. And I'm going to bash people as I go by because we're in Athens. I got to do it. If you're Kirby, you've got to be like, sweet Jesus, what can I do? I've tried everything. We've had people die. And the message does not get through. Starting linebacker, Smail Mundon, and backup offensive tackle, Bo Hughley, I think it is, arrested this week on separate misdemeanor charges of reckless driving. That according to the Athens-Clark County Sheriff's Office. Hughley was charged with failure to maintain a lane, improper driving on the road, and reckless driving. By the way, I got to be honest with you. I'm not entirely certain why reckless driving, like you can't stay in a lane, you're cutting in and out of traffic, you're hauling ass, you're by definition reckless. Why is that a misdemeanor? That feels felonious. The documents show he posted a total of $26. That's probably why they can't get a handle on it. You're driving over mailboxes, they're like, $5. On Wednesday, Mondin was charged with racing on a highway, racing in the streets, and reckless driving. And that was at 12:35 a.m. And he, too, got charged with a misdemeanor. You've got a devastating history in Athens. Devin Willock, recruiting staff member Chandler LaCroix, they were killed in a car wreck. You know all about it. Jalen Carter, former defensive lineman, was there. Now in Philadelphia, driving with a suspended license during the night of the accident. That led to, once again, misdemeanor charges. What kind of infraction do you have to be involved in a vehicle for it to rise to a felony? Like, there ought to be special rules in Athens just to curb this behavior. It ought to be just like, if you go 5 miles per hour over the speed limit, it's a felony. We got to get it together, everybody. I don't know what's happening here in Athens, but it ain't safe driving. So we're going to have to figure out what we can do. People effing getting killed did not change behavior in Athens. Guys, we're going to have to up the ante on these charges. You're pulling over, you know, Jerry, going 152 miles per hour at 1:30 in the morning. He wraps a vehicle around a tree, and you're like, $17. Have a good evening. Get it together, Athens. Kirby, like, I don't know what he could do to address the team other than, like, okay, here's the punishment, guys. I didn't want to have to go here. If you're caught reckless driving, 5 kicks to the face. We're going back to the face kicking. Everybody, we're all going to watch it. It'll be enjoyable for you. It's going to suck for the guy receiving the face kicking. The rest of us will get a kick out of it. And perhaps at least the one who got his face kicked will learn not to drive recklessly.
And it's going to be, look, it's not just anybody who gets to kick you to the face. It's local UFC legend, star of UFC pay-per-views 261 and 264, Ricky Benoit. Ricky Benoit is the one who gets to kick him.
As I brought Ricky in just to show you a little, give you a little taste of what this might feel like. There's a heavy bag, Rick. Show him what time it is. And you
just, amazing. And when he lands the big ones, he yells his last name as he does it. Benoit! Wow!
I mean, that's going to be the next box to check for me from here on out. Like, okay, we got the video game is back in the fold, right? The NCAA video game is back in the fold, so I can check that box. Here we go. In fact, that's going to be at Games for Less any day now, right on the Parkway.
Yes, and I would say drop the extra 20 bones for the deluxe edition. I think it's worth it. You get to play on Tuesday. Next Tuesday, if you drop the extra 20 bones at Games for Less. Or
maybe sooner at Games for Less. You never know.
Could be. Although, up here, I did make the purchase electronically because I don't have the means to go to George.
And you should do the emoji eyes that I after I said what I said.
Go ahead and say it again.
You might be able to get that game 24 hours, 48 hours sooner than you get it anywhere else if you go to Games for Less. And maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's possible. Maybe. There you go. See, there's a good use of it.
So I'll continue to make my point with the emoji eyeballs on the screen. You get 3 days early access for the extra 20 bones, and it downloads for you. It doesn't let you access the game, but you don't have to wait for the downloads and the installs. It's just straight up on Tuesday. I'll be able to play. And I think
so. You just wake up and it's on your console there?
I've already downloaded it. I thought, why is it letting me do this? And then I hit play. Because like it's ready to play, and I hit it. Sorry, not available yet. You can open it on Tuesday.
It'd be funny if it just said "suck it." Play, suck it.
It's just Triple H from 1999. You knew you shouldn't be here. This is what you get. You're breaking the rules. It's Tuesday.
Cheater. Anyhow, back to Georgia. That's something you could do. You could ban them from playing NCAA football. You could say, nope, you're not allowed, meaning the game. None of you are allowed to play the game. Put a lock on your PS5s. That's it. You're screwed because you guys can't not drive recklessly. And I know here in Athens, it's just a minor slap on the wrist, a little $7 fine for going 180 in a 20. But hey, that's how we roll here in Athens. People killing people on the regular on the roadways. We are never going to get a handle on it. We don't care. He ought to just embrace it and be a heel. Like at the SEC meetings next week, Kirby gets asked this question because he will, much the way Mike Gundy got asked the question. Mike's like, I'm drunk right now. Anyhow, so Kirby gets asked this question and he should just go, that's how we roll at Georgia, guys. In addition to kicking ass on the football field and playing for national championships, you can drive any way you want. We don't care. In Athens, it's known. Keep your head on a swivel. There's a car coming. And it's coming fast. Well over the speed limit. It may not even stay in the proper lane. You got to have your dancing feet on. You better know. You've got a good chance to get run over here, and nothing's going to happen to the guy that runs you over. Because that's how we roll here in Athens.
Guys, I think this is a great drill we can institute for our punt returners. You know, we allow the kids to drive at them. Let's just use this. Kids are going to drive recklessly anyway. Let's get our punt returners out there in the middle of the road so they have to learn how to make the first guy miss.
Perfect. So on Monday's practice, like, guys, I'm introducing something. This was all of you this weekend. You know it was. Get out there on the logo. Let's get those feet chopping. Blow the whistle. Cars from every entrance coming at you. That's what it feels like to live as a citizen here in Athens. Walking the streets with this football team present. You got to be ready. It's on the ready, Athens. You come in here to visit our fair city, you might get killed by a reckless driver who will pay a $20 fine and be charged with a misdemeanor. We like it that way. Self-governing Athens. Just do whatever the hell we want. And there's nothing you can do about it. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Raycon's Everyday Earbuds. I don't know if you've heard of them or not. I have a pair, and actually, I use them every morning when I walk my two dogs. Now, this was brought to my attention, admittedly, as an advertiser in the pod, and they said, hey, try these out. They're just as good as any other model on the market. So a lot of you heard of other earbuds, if you will. I thought, why not? Sounds good to me. I'm a music guy. I'm a podcast guy. I'll give them a go. Awesome. They're better. And they're really easy to use. And I'll tell you something else. The way they fit in your ear, there's probably a better way of me saying this, but they're perfect. They're comfortable. I've had a problem with that in the past. Right now is the time. There's no better time, in fact, to get this upgraded model, this perfect model from Raycon's Everyday Earbuds. They're unbelievable. Go to buyraycon.com/Jeff Cameron today to get 15% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 15% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/Jeff Cameron. buyraycon.com/Jeff Cameron. Let's collaborate with my friends at ISF. We love to do that. They are the best, and they've been a longtime partner on the Jeff Cameron Show. They've partnered with a lot of important groups around here. I want to bring this up whenever we do ISF and we solve for the future. Your future solved. That's what we do. I just want to say that I talked with my friends, and this is true. This happened today. In fact, on my way into the studio, I talked with Deborah Moore of the Guardian Ad Litem. ISF has worked with the Guardian Ad Litem, Department of Children and Families. They've worked with a lot of wonderful organizations, Second Harvest of the Big Bend. These are all partners that help make our community better, enrich people's lives, save lives in some cases, to be honest with you. And ISF works with groups like that, and they strategize, and they, you know, manage services, and they modernize the IT aspects of it. They do all these things. And I love telling you about that because we love for you to do business with people who do business with us, especially those who help people in the community. But my point would be, they need more male volunteers currently. There's a dearth of male volunteers to be advocates or even just, occasional sort of like, I guess you would just say sort of the weekend hosts, things like that. Maybe not at the house, but like you go take a kid to a movie, take them out to dinner. These kids, they need responsible people and interactions that improve and enrich their life and help them learn that there are people out there who have their back, who can help them. They've had a tough life. If they're involved in this, they've had a tough go. As I say, and any help that you can provide, there's a ton of female volunteers for groups like the Guardian Ad Litem and not enough male volunteers. And a lot of these young men need a male role model, and you can do a lot to change the shape and the path of their life, where they're headed. I know this, I've seen it firsthand years and years and years ago, many, many years ago now, before I was a sports talk show host. I was a counselor for a program in foster care, and I've seen what these groups do and how they can help change these lives for the better. But they do need more male role models and volunteers. So reach out to the Guardian Ad Litem here locally. You can look them up online. Just Google it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But give them a call. I think it'll be cutting a new spot here soon, and ISF helps them. So this is solving the future. You can help solve the future for a young man who needs it. More male volunteers for the Guardian Ad Litem. Wanted to get that message out there today. Okay. Normally, I present the question of solving for the future by asking something football related, right? And we talk about how it's going to be solved. I'm going to give you the answer, Tom. I'm going to give you the answer. Solve the future this way.
What is this, like Jeopardy style solving for the future?
Yeah. Who is Otto? That's the answer.
Well, so Andre Otto would be the answer. And then I have to say who is
Andre Otto?
I have to use the form of the question.
No, you have to say, what is Florida State's what is Florida State's starting right tackle?
I was going to say, if you just said Andre Otto, period, and I'd say
who is Florida State's right tackle?
Who is the guy who makes the 8-man rotation for Florida State's offensive line?
Tony answered it. Our starting right tackle. That's right.
I have to answer in the form of a question, Tony. Yeah, I'm sorry.
The money.
We're taking your money.
I kind of butchered it, so I'm going to give you the money. There's $200. Next one. Here we go. Do you think he wins the job?
No, my question is, who is somebody who is in the top 8 rotation for Florida State this fall? It's a crowded room. I know you will roll your eyes. I get it. But Mike Norvell keeps saying it on the record, dude. He keeps saying. Did he bring
up Robert Scott again?
He's saying that Robert Scott will be a full go. If Robert Scott's a full go, it gets that much harder for Andre Otto to be a starter at right tackle. If Robert Scott, just suspend your disbelief, all of the tons of disbelief you have in that room over there about Robert Scott. If that were true, wouldn't he be the favorite to land one of the starting tackle jobs if it were true?
Yeah, he would be. That's a big I and a big F.
I know.
That's a giant I and a giant F.
He says he's going to be a full go. I mean, that he changes said the
7 weeks in a row last year, we heard the same thing. And I just said, I'm done with it. I got in fights with you guys on this about this. I was like, I'm done. Stop telling me Robert Scott's going to play and make any impact whatsoever in this football game on Saturday. Well, we got to say what he said. I mean, Coach Norvell. No. Stop. He doesn't. He goes out there for 7 plays. He's gone. That's it. Grand opening, grand closing. Over and over and over again. I want Robert Scott to be healthy for Robert Scott's sake. I want Robert Scott to be healthy for Florida State's sake. I want Robert Scott to be healthy because he's talented. Like, selfishly, he's a talented guy. I'd love to start him at right tackle, Darius at left tackle, and let's roll Big River. We're going to be all right. We'll have 2 monster guards, a beat-to-hell center who gets by on being technically savvy, been here 16 years, knows the playbook like the back of his hand, understands it all, and somehow survives week after week despite having a shredded back, no more tissue anywhere around his knees. He's just out there getting it, bone on bone. Tell it to Moses McCray style. He's tough. He is tough. But, man, I want Otto to start somewhere. That's why I brought it up. I'm solving for the future because I want Otto to be part of that future. I feel like he's got to be. He's talented. He's big as hell. He seems to me to have come a long way fast. He's got a shot to maybe win that battle when fall camp opens up. I think he's got a shot.
Well, he was given important reps in the spring showcase at right tackle. You know, that says something. And, you know, it's unfortunate that Lucas Simmons had a speed bump in his development and his career at Florida State, but he too was trusted with some pretty big reps. Two springs ago, Lucas Simmons was entrusted with some reps that would suggest he could have competed for a tackle job sooner than later. But then he hits whatever you want to describe the size of those bumps as. That's fine, yes. But Otto he's versatile. You know, it sounded like when he got on campus, he might be your future middle anchor of the line. He would be Moe's replacement in a year or two. And he's athletic enough to play it all, I think. I agree with you. But if you've got a guy that is even available for 50% of the snaps in Robert, and then you've got Byers, and you've got Jalen Early, who they're very high on competing for that job as well. It's tough to say that he's the starter. It's a hell of a prediction on your part. I think he might be in that rotation, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to speak it into being. But in fairness, if I had my druthers, as much as I like Otto, and I do think he's got a really, really bright future at Florida State, and I believe that, all jokes aside, all sarcasm aside, I think he's going to be a very, very, very good player, and I'm trying to insert him in the starting lineup. I think he's going to be such a good player. I'm trying to get him there sooner rather than later. That said, I did not think this through in the sense that if Lucas Simmons is physically ready to go after that massive speed bump you just talked about, then he should be your starting left tackle and Washington should be your starting right tackle. If Simmons is caught up, strength-wise, His lower half, he's got the body type, the size, the legs, the feet. He's got all of that. It was the upper half that he had to get bigger and he had to get stronger. But he's got, I mean, he's a prototypical NFL left tackle, right tackle. He is that 6 foot eight, 300 plus pound, crazy armed badass. I mean, length. I'm talking about a length that you want. He's got all of those things. If he's right physically, let's go, baby. This changes who Florida State is. It really does. Because he's the caliber of offensive lineman. Again, if he's right, if he's healthy, remember what he was coming in, what he was when we recruited him. He was Atkins, really, his first great get where we were like, oh, man, we got us one of those guys that starts, you know, typically at Georgia or Alabama. Like, that's how he looks. That's his frame, weight, length, all of those things. So if he's right, it changes Florida State's offensive line. Really, it's appreciably.
My guess would be his path would be through the right side of the offensive line first, because you want the blind side to be protected by more of a veteran. And now he could, you know, let's just say it's the optimal scenario. Maybe he arrives at left tackle through game reps at right, proving that he has it down. But again, also in the offseason, Mike Norvell has gone on record saying that he believes Darius Washington can be an All-American left tackle.
That's because he doesn't believe that Robert Scott's going to play football again.
Well, I don't think that has any bearing on the All-American part of it.
He's trying to infuse the man with confidence. I don't know.
That Robert would have been an All-American left tackle? I mean, you know, so the thing is, if you're willing to specify what side of the offensive line you're going to play on, if you're talking about Darius Washington, All-American left tackle.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
That's a choice where I'm saying, all right, I don't even have to worry about the battle at left tackle. Mike Norvell has declared a winner. He has told you who the winner is going to be on that side. It's about the right side. If Norvell had said he's an All-American tackle for us, he could play either side, big difference. Now you've got two jobs that are open. But, I mean, it's almost like he told you, don't worry about that, dude. That's lockdown.
Yeah, I'm glad, too, and I love Washington, and he's been a loyal and versatile soldier for this team. So I love that he's heaping praise upon him. I love to see guys who are program guys, like I say, that have been here a long time, bought in, worked hard, got better every year they were here, and then get their just due. It seems weird to me, though, because you did bring in I think you brought in Simmons originally when you recruited him to be your left tackle. I mean, he's prototypical. He's 6'7", 6'8", whatever that is, 330 pounds with that length and those feet. Yeah, man, that's why you brought him in, I would think. It would be cool, though, if he's just ready to compete and be out there as a true option at this point at right tackle. That would be tremendous, because that means he will have beaten out Otto. It means he will have beaten out early. It means he would, you know, at that point you'd say Simmons is finally really, really healthy and ready to go, because he will have beaten out some pretty good players. You and I aren't as big on early as a lot of people are. I know our conversations were kind of like,
Yeah, the coaching staff is, I think they're a lot more optimistic, and they could be right. Like, it's not to say, but I agree. Like, that the way that Andre Otto specifically has impressed in his spring camp, to me, is more impressive than what I've seen from Jalen Early. But that doesn't mean that they don't have something carved out and there's a technique that they know that he can execute that fits exactly what they want him to do. And so therefore he's in the rotation. Like, that is part of what makes this upcoming camp really intriguing, is they have a lot of hope in Jalen Early, and they're not speaking about him the way they spoke about Rod Orr, which was, they said he's got a giant camp ahead of him. Like, yeah, they talked about him, they brought up his name, but they said this is a big moment for him. With Jalen, they're saying, oh no, he's going to be good. So it's different. And when you're watching that right tackle battle and you're watching them shuffle personnel, maybe they'll do a little bit of cross training in the first couple of weeks. Okay, this is it, man. This is the dress rehearsal, because they're talking about you like you're right behind Jeremiah Byers.
Yeah, I want somebody to beat out Byers. He was not good last year. Either that or Byers just improve. Get better, Byers.
You are allowed to do that. Yes.
Tough Love Cameron is here for you, Byers. I'll tell you that now. This is it. That ain't it last year. We got to get better. Got to get better, or get beaten out by the aforementioned several young men that we are excited to see play. That was Solving for the Future with our friends at ISF, by the way. organizational transformation, optimizing your operational performance. They can do that. Strategy and operations, they do that. Enabling an efficient, mission-oriented organization to be their very best. Public sector managed services, IT modernization, they'll work with your company, they collaborate, they take your ideas, and they help make you great. ISF.com to learn more. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3, Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. I suppose I could tell you about Factor's chef-prepared meals, well-crafted, calorie-smart, protein-plus, you can get keto, all the other things. Here's what I'm going to do instead, and I hope they don't get mad at me. I have Factor. I use Factor at my house. Obviously, I'm married. I've got two kids. They're growing boys, 16 and 14. I'm 53. I don't want to get fat, but I want to eat well while I work out. Factor has been a godsend. I swear, every Tuesday, a new box comes in. I can't wait to open it up. 35 different types of meals. Got something like 60 add-ons to choose from every week. If you got wellness goals, you can crush them. Your day's food to start, you know, it's important. It's delicious with Factor. Their foods are so good. Different, I think the 6 menu preferences that I choose from via email, and then I change out my menu every week. It's perfect. Head to factormeals.com to find out what I'm talking about. You're going to want to do this now, and you're going to get a huge, huge discount. Thanks to me, guys. Thanks to me. Head to factormeals.com/Cameron50 and use code Cameron50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code Cameron50 at factormeals.com/Cameron50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Hey, Seminoles, we all know how important it is to score in the red zone, but are you prepared for success in the retirement red zone? 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after are a critical time of thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend and fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are prepared to coach you to victory. Some of us, well, we're at midfield and want to plan ahead. Others are ready to punch it in on the goal line. Whether making sure you know how much you can spend without running out of money, protecting yourself and your family against rising healthcare costs, or carefully planning your legacy, the Artisan team brings a combined 30-plus years of planning experience and world-class resources to help you navigate the way. For more information, just head over to KnollRetirement.com. Now, that's one word, KnollRetirement.com. Jeff Cameron Show rolling on Big River. Didn't I tell you? I knew it yesterday as we were getting ready to sign off, Tom. I said after the Pirates had won 12-2 and I was doing probables, I'm like, well, you know, you win 12-2, that means you're going to come back tonight and get maybe a run, two, if you're lucky. No, none. We got none. 9-0. Took an ass beating. That's what we did. That's who we are. That's who we are. We will beat you senseless and look like a world beater and turn around and get blanked with 3 hits on the regular. In fact, it's almost a guaranteed result after a butt kicking that we get a butt kicking. That's how we roll.
But I think the good news here is that you figure, as long as UCLs stay intact, you figure to be a fast riser among the National League. And I think this team that I'm watching up here, this National League New York Baseball Club, is starting on the upward trajectory as well. I think we're going to have a lot of fun segments in the next 5 years about Pirates baseball and Mets baseball and postseason prognostications. Things are looking up for you, buddy, and I think things are looking up for me too.
Today is Paul Skeens Day. And Skeens Day means the world to me, as you know. I celebrate Skeens Day in the Cameron household typically by coming home to grill and get everybody ready for the night's fireworks. But it's a day game. It's nothing in the second inning so far. Skeens, no hitting the Brewers through 2. We shall see. Already 4 Ks. I have, and it's too late for you guys, I think, probably no longer going to be fun for me either, but I had a nice run, a stretch for the ages, I tell you. I kept taking advantage of the Hard Rock app bets on total strikeouts on Skeens Day, Tom, and they never seemed to go over 7.5, and I just bet the over and over and over and over again, and Skeens routinely strikes out 8, 9, 10 guys, and it's just free money. You got 4 through 2 innings right now. He'll probably go well over that 7.5 here within the next 3 innings. And I don't know why they don't up it to some astronomical number now, or make it, you know, -210 to the over or something, but they keep screwing this up. It's just free money.
So
it's interesting.
Well, did they take it off the board? So you were saying that your run is over. Why is your run over?
Oh, well, they're going to wake up. I mean, there's no chance that that's going to continue. I didn't check today. I forgot to do it today. I had all my golf bets. But I normally it's seven. It's been 7.5 for three starts in a row. And I'm like, well, okay. After they get torched three times, I would think that that's going to go to 8, 8.5. It is hard in the modern baseball methodology to believe that you're going to go over 8 or 8.5 repeatedly and win, because anymore they treat these guys, you know, around the 100 pitch mark like they're, you know, made of, tissue paper. They get him out of there. They can't handle the idea that he's going to throw 102 pitches. Oh, he's at 100 pitches. Get him out. I'm like, the guy is 6'6", 250. The ball fires out of his hand. Doesn't even look like he's throwing hard. And it's 100 miles per hour. It's all lower body. What are we doing?
That's the key, is if he's not throwing max and he's getting max velocity numbers, then he'll be fine. Yeah. But if he's trying to choke the life out of the bait, you don't do that. But you know what I mean? It's almost like locking out in weightlifting. If he's doing the equivalent of locking out, it's going to snap, and he'll be back, and he'll throw 102 again, and it could snap again, and he might throw 100. He might be Jacob DeGrom. It might happen. But if he's not max effort, then, and he could be. You're right. That body frame suggests that he can chuck it without having to do some things like other guys who might be stretch guys or middle relievers, setup guys.
Yeah. Oh, well, one of the things you'll notice, and I would love to, and maybe we'll have a chance to talk to Mike Capozzi about this. I mean, I know the theory, like, amongst baseball pitching coaches is debated. Everybody debates this. There are old school guys that don't believe that pampering pitchers to the extent that they do these days really adds anything to their career. Like, they don't get a back end 3 years that they wouldn't have had otherwise. Like, there's no evidence to that end. And that's like, so recently the study that came out about load management in the NBA, right? I don't know if you saw that. There was no discernible proof that load management allows players to escape injury, that they are any better off than they would have been if they just played all 82 games.
Yeah.
And so that practice of sitting guys for, say, 10 games a year just to let them rest in order to prevent injury, there's no evidence that it does. None.
Well, okay, think about it this way. Use your hamstrings as an example. This is the best way it's been put to me. I know it's still a little bit of a mystery here as to the right balance to strike, but you were rudely awakened. That's almost about 10 years ago now that you rudely awakened once with the hamstring, and then twice, right? Didn't it happen twice?
Yeah, it's happened twice, and it's why I'm scared to death to gun it when I'm at Orange Theory. I still do it, but it's like you're the whole time I'm going, because, man, when you have hamstring issues, it affects you for a long period of time. Yeah, right. It's very, very difficult. Yeah.
Okay, so imagine to train, you had to sprint at all times. That wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. Nobody has the clairvoyance of Dalvin Cook to know that it's about to go. Like, everybody, it just goes. But that's what pitchers are doing. Essentially, they're sprinting at all times, even with breaking balls, because they need the RPMs to be so high.
It's the spin rate. It's the chase for spin rate. Yeah.
That used to be the fear. Before fastball velocity UCL tears, it was you're throwing too much junk as a kid. You're messing up your arm and the leverage you're trying to put on your arm. It's just not going to last. It would be like a world-class sprinter always sprinting in everything they do. They wouldn't make it to the Olympics. They wouldn't make it through trials. That's not how you train. But somehow that's the expectation for a pitcher, is to always sprint at all times instead of mixing up velocities and jogging every once in a while, which is 93 instead of 99.
Like, yeah, and if you're talking about cardiovascular health, interval training is the key to that, right? You're not always sprinting or always jogging. You're mixing and matching various heart rates and speeds. Yes, it's fascinating to me. I do think the pitching discussion is fascinating, because, you know, we've watched. I love to think about this now that I'm older. There are benefits of being older, not many, but there are. And some of them have to do with, obviously, just the forced perspective of having seen a lot of stuff over time to be able to juxtapose against one another, right? Just different theories, different thoughts, different ways of training, different ways of eating, different ways of practicing. And, you know, I find the whole pitching thing fascinating because in my lifetime, we've gone from a guy or two in the league at any given time capable of reaching 100 miles per hour with his pitches. Like, so Nolan Ryan and J.R. Richard back in the day and a young Dwight Gooden and guys like that, when they came up, you'd watch and you'd go, well, that's different. That dude throws 100 miles per hour. And it was discernible. Either on TV or in person, you'd be like, that's like, it's like the sound of the ball coming off the bat of Shohei Ohtani. Everybody says that you hear that. You can have your back to batting practice. You hear that sound, you know that's Ohtani. It's the way Bonds used to be, and certain other players that obviously are able to square it up, as they say, each and every time. It makes a certain sound with that bat speed hitting the sweet spot of the bat, each barreling up. All right. Well, in my lifetime, that's changed radically. I mean, every bullpen in the major leagues now feature probably more than one, most likely two to three guys that can throw 100 miles per hour. And I get the idea that you take a bullpen arm and you say to him, hey, you're a bridge. You're my middle inning. You're my sixth inning guy. Okay. Don't save anything. Throw it as hard as you can. We know that miles per hour, the higher it is, the more likely it is you miss bats, the more likely it is you strike people out. That there's a correlation with that. We see it everywhere. If you throw 100, you get more strikeouts, period. So I'm fine with those guys coming in, throwing as hard as they sprinting.
Right.
You're doing it for three batters. Give me everything you got. I'll see you again Tuesday. And that's it. But a starting pitcher, man, I don't know why we do this. Like, if you get to a place where my starting pitcher learns how to pitch, changes speeds, locations, and can give me 6 to 7 innings and throw 110 pitches. Like, right. I don't know why they don't do that. They still have guys throw 70 pitches through four and then pull them. What do we do? Why even bother?
So this was a long discussion last night on the local broadcast, and Ron Darling, who did some things as a pitcher, wasn't a Hall of Famer, but he said that, you know, for me, if I had a 100 pitch outing or 120 pitch outing, which was very much normal, 120 standard pitches back in those days, I would all out 12 pitches.
Yeah,
I wouldn't all out 90 to 100 pitches. And if you think about it, you could use the sprinter's analogy. There are far more people that can run the speed that Usain Bolt runs for 10 meters than 50, than for 10 meters than 100. And those are your setup guys, your closers. They can throw as hard as Paul Skenes for 10 pitches, for 15 pitches. Yeah. They can't do it for 95 or 100. So there's a lot of dudes that can do that. But the problem is, Usain Bolt, Paul Skenes, we're expecting him to run 400 meters at the sprint speed of 100. You know, and he might be able to do it for a while, but he won't be able to do it for nearly as long. And the world expects you to run 800 meters because pitchers are supposed to throw complete games. That's what tradition tells us. So you're just, it's different. You're bringing in a sprinter to a long distance running job, and you're expecting that you're going to get those results that those guys in the 80s used to, when they threw complete games every other day, every other time through the rotation.
Yeah. I like the idea of there being pushback on this. Now, baseball has been awesome the last 2 years. And I know I don't spend a ton of time on it here. Most of the time you guys want me talking about football or getting in certainly to college football and pro football when it starts back up. And I do. And I get that. But I love baseball, and I'm so happy that the numbers are way up in terms of viewership. They did the right thing by pushing through all the rules to change the pace of the game. And you can sit down and watch a baseball game and know that it's going to be over in 3 hours. That's fine. You know, a game starts at 8 o'clock. The other night I'm watching the Pirates, started at 8 o'clock. It was over by 10:40. I was like, all right, there we go. That's amazing. You know, and that's been really, really good. I like that there are more and more people in the game saying, we got to get back to teaching a guy how to pitch, teach a guy that, you know, look, my man, I know you can throw 101, Go ahead and throw 86 here, 94 there, 101 on the 2-2 with runners at second and third in the tie ball game in the fifth and throw it by him at 103. Okay, got it. Don't do that again when we start the next inning. I don't need you to do that. And yeah, you can go back online now and watch countless pitchers, Greg Maddux being chief amongst them, who are so economical. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's a point in Pedro's career. He did pitch for the Mets. That was his next big team after Boston. And when he first arrived, he was still the tail end of vintage Pedro. He could get it up there around 97, which in those days, 97 for a starter was absurd. 97, 98.
In the contrast of that, and his changeup was insane. So yes.
Right. Then he started to taper off. But I got to tell you, while I would have loved to have prime Pedro for many years,
yes,
it was a joy to watch the 91 to 94 mile an hour fastball Pedro. Yeah. Who changed? He brought his changeup velocity down to match the splits. He brought his slider velocity down to, again, match the splits. It didn't really matter. And before he got hurt that next time, he was basically just as good. I mean, it was a little bit worse. He wasn't as dominant, but he got through games with 94 instead of 97 because he knew how to navigate things. He knew how to navigate the strike zone. And when you have somebody who understands both of those concepts, like late career Justin Verlander can still throw it at 98, 99. He's got a neck issue right now, not an arm issue, but he saves it. He knows he's got 10 of those and I got to spend them wisely. Like that's pitching. That's the art of pitching, not throwing.
No hitter still intact in Milwaukee with on Paul Skeens Day, everybody.
What inning?
Third, I think it's the third inning. Yeah, I think it's the bottom of the third, but still intact. You know, I will tell you, it's a joy to watch a guy who you think legitimately has that kind of stuff. Every time he takes the mound, you go, "Well, this could be special today." Like that's how good he is. His stuff is that good. You're like early on, you kind of think it. Be well, good sir. I'll talk to you later. The same goes for all of you guys in the audience. We appreciate it. A lot of fun today. Always appreciate you. We'll be back for more tomorrow. I think tomorrow is podcast and video. Are we doing video at all, Tom?
There will be something on this channel, no matter what.
Something on this channel for sure. Guys, be well. Peace.